The Chris Perillo Show coverage of SES New York is brought to you by MSN Search, the new, more precise search engine at search.msn.com. That's search.msn.com.
Today, I think we were all surprised when Ask dropped the Jeeves character. He's now gone off into the sunset, and now if you look at Ask.com, you'll see they've pretty much reinvented the internet, and if you take a look at their 47-page press release, you'll see that they've really been working on a lot of stuff lately. Here we thought they were written out of the game, especially with that kind of snide remark that Jon Stewart made on The Daily Show a few weeks back that you might have caught when they were talking about Google in China, and they brought up Ask in a not so positive light, and to hear to put a different spin on it is the general manager, at least, of the Ask product, Jim.
How you doing?
Doing well. I like sticking to first names.
Yeah, okay.
Makes it much more personal.
Sure. Well, I appreciate being personal, Chris. Thanks. What can we tell you?
Well, you guys literally launched 100 things today in Ask.
Yeah. Well, I'd say in some ways it was a lot of things today. I'd say actually we've been innovating for the past 3 or 4 years against core search, something not a lot of people knew that we did. I mean, our brand was really known as questions and answers from 1999 and, you know, a dot-com era brand. But a lot's changed. And during that time, while other brands in search have kind of gotten a lot of the attention, ironically, under the radar, Ask has been growing and gaining a lot of respect as a search brand. And you know, at the same time, most consumers didn't really know that about us, and the Butler character himself embodied a lot of that. So this was a good time to make a clean break with a new brand that's more representative of who we are today and where we're going. And with the site that we launched today, it kind of houses a lot of the innovative and unique tools that we've built in a seamless way that makes it really easy for people to access them and to use them and to understand them. And, yeah, and on top of that overall site redesign, we launched a new Maps product using Ajax, but going a step beyond and really making it, I think, the leading Maps product for building itineraries and getting directions. We haven't hit local yet in terms of local adding local businesses. That will be coming next. But, well, besides having draggable maps and being able to do all that, which was kind of stage one, and I think people have gotten used to that and appreciate that now. What we did was we added about 10 features on top of that really make it the easiest place and the fastest place to get directions. So, for example, our push pins on the map are draggable. You can take them and put them anywhere on the map, and it automatically recalculates the address of where you drag it to. You can hover over any point of the map, right-click, and add a location. We actually let you add up to 10 locations. You can then choose between driving directions and walking directions. So if you're in a city like San Francisco or New York where there's a lot of one-way streets, the driving directions are going to be wrong or different, let's say. So all of those things, we even let you hit play, and it takes you on a little drive through the map, which is kind of fun, especially when you're heading down I-5 down California or something. You're just driving right down the highway. So a lot of different things, and I think they just embody our overall philosophy, which is to make products that people can really use. It was novel a few years ago just to be able to find something, the same way I think it was novel a year ago just to have draggable maps. Searchers are evolving. The search game is not done, and a lot of the products we've built have been along that line of evolving search where people really need it. And a lot of the times, by the way, that's not the sexiest product. It's just the most useful. So in January, we launched Image Search, a new form of that, which our users went crazy for. But that's something that, you know, isn't brand spanking new, and we're not opening offices at NASA, so it's not really the front page headline. But it's one that dramatically increased usage of Image Search for our users, and we try and take that philosophy to everything we do.
Have you guys punched through that ceiling and introduced something that hasn't been seen in the search space yet?
Yeah, I'd say today we have the most differentiated results page of any of the major engines. On our competitors' site, you'll find 10 blue links and advertisements. We innovated in early 2003 what we call smart answers, which means we access structured databases and bring back direct answers or valuable shortcuts at the top of the page. We still do that probably more than anybody. But on top of that, we also have down the right-hand side of our page where other sites have advertisements, we have our most used feature, which is called Zoom-related search, which lets you narrow and expand your search based on topics that we bring back to you. So if it's, the query is Civil War, we'll bring back ways to narrow down into Civil War, like Civil War facts or Civil War battles, or we'll let you expand your search. So topics like slavery or the Emancipation Proclamation or important people like Abraham Lincoln. And every one of our searches comes back with that on the right-hand side of the page. It gets used a lot. No other site has that. For every blue link that we do have, we have what's called binoculars, which lets you hover over a little image of binoculars and you get a site preview that pops right up on the page. So you can decide whether you want to go visit the site or not. So actually today, we've done a lot of those things. By the way, not to mention, we also have the most differentiated 10 blue links because the way our search technology works, which was originally the Teoma brand that we acquired in 2001, works not through mere link popularity, you know, the biggest site wins, but based on what a community around a subject thinks is the most popular and best site. And that's how we calculate our results. And really, we just started getting building that in 2001, and we're still not done. I'd say we're probably a year away from our best relevance yet, even with the 10 blue links. So I think in a lot of ways, our best days are still ahead of us.
Well, I like your algorithm right now because I'm the number one Chris on Ask, so I appreciate the I don't know if you did that in preparation of the interview or if that was just completely the magical monkeys in the background who did that.
Yeah. No, that that is purely the communities that you are a part of voting you to the top.
I'll have to send everybody some Xboxes then. Now, what are you guys doing to address things like the Alexa rank or the Google Page rank? Are you pushing that envelope a bit?
So we take a complete departure from PageRank. So if you think about PageRank as it's called in the search community, global popularity, meaning the larger the site, the more importance is placed on that site's vote. So if Yahoo thinks a site is important, that site will rank highly. So I always use the example fantasy baseball as a query. Yahoo and ESPN are two of the top three ranked sites on Google as an example of someone who uses PageRank for that query. Whereas on our site, you'll get more niche sites because the way that we calculate it goes to the community of fantasy baseball and asks those people what they think is the best site, not just what the overall internet thinks is the best site. And so we actually purposefully take a different approach from PageRank, and I think it's a good reminder that search is editorial. It's built by technology, but that technology has an opinion, and there's not just one right answer for a search unless there is one right answer, which is a search where they're looking for a specific website. But the vast majority of searches are not looking for just one website. So, you know, I think we also provide a very valuable service by our mere existence in that regard because you don't find another engine that uses this methodology.
All right. So what about RSS? I don't know if I caught any of that in the announcement today.
Yeah, so we acquired Bloglines last year. I mean, I still am a firm believer that feed readers are the best way to track and consume content. I'm still a Bloglines, avid user. And really, I'd say this was what we launched today was phase one of, you know, kind of a new direction in trying to help people navigate the web through search. And so I'd say looking ahead for us, what we'll do is we will look to integrate Bloglines more, or at least if it's not Bloglines, it will be the functionality of Bloglines as a platform for the site. We don't know yet exactly how it's going to work. Once we do that and we can expose more people to RSS and the power of it, then we can look to how we bring it to our everyday search results and letting people track and subscribe to the things that they find there. We're working on blog search still. I mean, that's going to come out pretty soon. And, you know, launching blog search will be a good reason to have it built into the search results. But I think you'd be surprised. I mean, for the majority of consumers, they don't even know what RSS is, let alone how to use it. And Barry Diller himself challenges me all the time as to Bloglines being a great tool that most people don't understand how to use. It's a very tech-savvy crowd that understands it. So one of our challenges is how to get people over that hump. Because once you do, I'd say it's the opposite problem of search. Search is the easiest product to get started with. There's just a white box and you can just enter some words in. And then it's very hard to find what you want and to go from there. Bloglines, it's relatively hard. Bloglines is probably the easiest, but hardest to set up. But then after you've done it, it's the easiest product in the world to use. You just go visit it and all comes to you. So two kind of different problems there that we're trying to solve at the same time.
Okay, in all the things that you announced today, and there's a lot, I mean, I swear, and that's a good thing. I think it's a very positive thing. Shows you guys have been working on things instead of just dropping out altogether. What's your favorite new feature of Ask?
Well, easily, I'd say it's the new homepage that features what we call the toolbox. So what you'll find in our homepage now along the right-hand side of the page is a little box. It says search tools, and then within it are 10 tabs to products that the way we've done this, you can simply, it's almost like a Zen feeling. You can skip from tab to tab to tab, just going down that toolbox, clicking. The search page itself transforms into that kind of search page as you go. So as you click to image or to news or to dictionary or to weather, the homepage says, you know, that you can search for those products at that time. The UI is all very consistent across all those. It's just the what that search box does that transforms. And, you know, again, the tech savvy crowd, I think, takes a lot of the vertical searches that search engines have developed for granted, whereas the average user, and by the way, that includes heavy searchers. It's not just novices when I say the average user. It's heavy searchers who are not, you know, daily observers of the internet, are not really aware that all these products exist, that search engines have maps, let alone how great it is. And so our task was, how do we bring that forward to the user in a way that doesn't clutter the page, in a way that they can personalize, and shows them a little bit more about what search can do than just a page with a search box on it. And that's what that does. And I just think it's, you know, beauty is in its simplicity. We always talk about it like it's like the click wheel was for the iPod. Until you had that click wheel, you know, an MP3 player just didn't seem that usable. And we really focused on usability with this, and we think it's a simple but important breakthrough for a search engine. And we're pretty proud of that particular product.
On our way to this interview, we ran into someone in the hallway, and you'd said that he was the one that had worked on that first page primarily, or just Ask?
So this is Daniel Reed. He's our VP of product, and importantly leads the product design of the overall site. And I think he's the resident genius in that area, so maybe we can ask him what he was going for here.
All right, so Daniel, I can call you Daniel? All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
Everyone get ready for the British accent. Switch on to listen to that.
Oh, boy. So now tell me, what was your thought process behind the front page, the whole design, the whole aspect, the whole ethos behind creating it?
Well, for one, simplicity. And we were really trying to crack what we consider as the key challenge for search engines today, which is essentially web search itself has become very pervasive and very easy to use. Although, to Jim's point, it can be hard to find what you're looking for when you start using it. But there are a lot of tools out there now that actually help searchers. But the fact is, most people and the majority of consumers are not aware that these tools and features exist. So the purpose of the new Ask.com homepage is to strike a balance. And that balance is to get a clean and easy-to-use web search engine off the bat. So we just nail that, essentially. And then to introduce the toolbox, which allows a user to become aware that all these tools and features exist, and also to access them in a very clean and easy-to-use way.
So did this concept follow throughout the whole website, not just the front page?
Yeah, I mean, when we originally literally went through the vision process for creating this thing, we went a lot further. We actually sort of, in the blueprints of this, have probably 2 to 3 years worth of work left. And what you saw today in the launch of Ask.com was the first foundation of that. Where things like the toolbox go is that it's going to become more open. People eventually are going to be able to add their own type of functionality through an open API. Eventually, you'll be able to access the toolbox from many more different points. At the moment, you can just get it on the homepage. You're likely eventually to be able to get it from the results page as well. It naturally segues into access points like the toolbar and desktop search. And this kind of toolbox paradigm is something we're going to be using a lot and giving a much wider distribution for.
Using a lot in terms of Ask or across your other properties?
It's definitely, first and foremost, an Ask.com applicable thing, but of course it can be, it's very flexible and can be used in lots of different ways.
One thing that's interesting is it seems very simple when you look at it, and I think it's hard to appreciate all the different iterations of this product that we went through in designing. I remember back in early 04, Daniel had shown me designs of a page that had a bunch of boxes all over it that we called tiles, which would be tiles of information that would be stored on this page, and you'd have all these tiles all over this one page. That wound up being essentially the UI of what's Google Personalized, Microsoft Office Live, NetVibes, and those kinds of things, which we found in usability was trying to pack too much information in too small a space so that it wouldn't be useful. You just had very top-line blurbs, and there'd be so many of them all over the page that for the average user, it wasn't going to be that practical of a product. So what we were going for was, how do you kind of bring a more robust experience to the user without cluttering the page? So we came up with the motif of left side, right side. This, on the right side, you have this toolbox, which as you use it, changes the left side of the page. So right now, you have a lot of search tools that come up there. What you will start finding are examples of content over there, and I think your feeds from Bloglines is a great example of what you'll see. So if you click Bloglines or whatever it's called, called on the Ask site at that point, the left-hand side of the page would change into your feeds. And we're just trying to make it very seamless. A search engine is the place where most people start their experience online for finding or creating or transacting, and we want to make it as seamless as possible for them across all of that. And across the other companies, we look at the IAC companies as great sources of data with which we can craft great search products for consumers. Not that it's just an ad for other IAC properties, but to the extent we can create a unique product that people can't get elsewhere and make search better, that's what we'll use those companies for.
In moving forward inside the search space, where do you think it's going next?
I think, I use the example of the Model T. At that point with that car, people said, why do I need another car? And everyone was driving around a Model T. But they were just happy to be able to drive, just like searchers a few years ago were just happy to be able to get relevant results. That was a very novel concept. And I do think at this point, what you're seeing on our page happening now is a great example of where search is going, because we're the search engine that goes beyond 10 blue links the most, that does more for the user to get them what they need faster, as opposed to just giving them a bunch of things that they, think are relevant. And I think that seamlessness, which we're going into pretty deep here, is where search is going. It's the starting point for what you do on the web now, and I think the gap will be bridged between that and what you wind up doing more and more and more. And I think vertical search is an example of that starting to happen. The trouble with that is, in terms of at least standalone brands, is while the innovation is great, it's too complicated for the average user to use 26 different search boxes for 26 different kinds of searches. They need the simplicity of one box that does everything for them. And what you'd be surprised with on a search engine is that people are already using engines for things you would normally associate with a portal or with a transactional site. So, our top queries are all things you'd find on portals. I mean, it's weather, it's dictionary, it's news, it's, buying tickets. Those are all things people are already doing today through a search engine. But historically, the engine just dropped them off at a link. Whereas I think a search engine can actually add value in that chain. It doesn't mean we replace what's downstream from us. It just means we add value throughout that process. And I think that's where we're going, and I think that's where search is going.
Think of something like buying a flight online. There's a big difference in user experience between the one-box web search experience and the normal transactional search you do on a a site like Expedia or Travelocity. And that's the kind of gap we're likely to be bridging in the future to make those kind of user experiences even more seamless and bring the original utility of web search to more complicated transactional searches.
Are you a fan of Spinal Tap?
Smell the glove.
So maybe you can say instead of just having the 10 blue links, you can take it all the way up to 11.
Ooh, now that's differentiation. it's one louder, isn't it?
Turn it up to 11, baby.
It's one more link.
I think people are already drowning in those links. We want to have great links, and we're working on getting better and better and better. We're not perfect yet, but we think there's more to do than links. So.
What about mobile?
Yeah, we're building our mobile product right now. I mean, that's imminent for us. I think the big challenge with mobile is that, at least for the American consumer, they want their web experience on their mobile device, and that's very hard to give them. You know, speed is a huge issue. Rendering is a huge issue. So really, I think you have some constraints there that aren't just on us and what we can produce. I think once you break through that, mobile will become more popular. Right now, you kind of resort to texting and things like that, which aren't that compelling for the American consumer, at least. It's very popular in other countries.
All right. Well, Jim and Daniel, thank you very much.
Cool. Thanks.
The Chris Perillo Show coverage of SES New York is brought to you by MSN Search, the new, more precise search engine at search.msn.com. That's search.msn.com.